As you can tell, technology-wise, we're kind of scaled back a little bit because all of our stuff's at the Beacon, kind of getting set up for our first worship service there, which will probably be in 2 Sundays from now. Right. So most likely in 14 days from now, we won't be meeting here. Carpet starts going down tomorrow. That is the thing. If the installers hit their schedule, we'll be meeting there in 2 weeks. If they don't, we'll be meeting there in 3 weeks. But so pardon the technology back and forth here. But again, good morning. My name is Keith, and welcome to Riverside. I'm one of the leaders around here, and we're currently in a sermon series we're calling The Outward Focused Life. And we're in this series because there's a lot on the horizon for us as a church, right? As I said, we're likely moving our Sunday gatherings to the Beacon in 2 weeks from now. The Beacon is the community center that we are launching on Lincoln Way West. And in this season of high change for our church, we're really focusing on what it means for us to live with a focus on others. And after last week's message, last week I spoke about how we have to either pick between the self-gratification life or the serving and die to self life, right? That was my message last week. You can serve yourself or you can serve others. After that message, God spoke to me. And I mean like God spoke to me like in a powerful way, like almost audible way. Do you want to know what he said? You want to know what he said? Go like this. Make it look you're engaged. Good. Yes, yes. You see, I feel like God's been stirring me these past few months. God has been doing some crazy things in our church, some really neat things in our church, you know, and just neat things are happening. So I'm reading scripture and I feel like the Spirit moves and I get excited, right? The Spirit moves, you get excited, you're going, here it comes, right? God's going to tell me how Riverside's going to be used to change the course of the world, how Riverside's going to be used to change people's lives, how Riverside's going to be used to change generational family trees, and how I'm going to be used as the lead pastor of this church to help drive some amazing things. And so this past week, I felt the Spirit move almost audibly, and here's what he said. God spoke to this young, hardworking, hard-charging, multitasking pastor, and he said, Keith, you're an idiot. I said, excuse me, God? You heard me, Keith. You're killing yourself. You're neglecting your family, and you're stifling the health and the vitality of this church because you think you're the one, the only, you're the super pastor. I said, no, God, I don't think that. He says, yes, you do. You think you're the man, and you're operating as if you're the man. Then he brought to mind Romans 12:3, which I've used many times in sermons, which says this, don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluations of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. And so God brings me that passage of scripture, and I think maybe I'm not the man. Maybe I'm not the super pastor. And then God points me to the context of that chapter, which reads this. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, it's the same with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God's given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you a leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. And it's as if God was saying to me, Keith, you don't have all the gifts. You're not the super pastor. You don't have all the gifts that are needed to make Riverside a great impact on the world. God only gave me a couple gifts, and I'm expected to use them to the fullest, absolutely. But I try to have my hand in everything around here. And actually, I think I'm the one that can be keeping us from growing at the speed and the depth that God wants for us. I, the professional pastor, can actually be the inhibitor of what God is doing around here. Because I'm too... That was the wrong location for an amen, Orlando! You were waiting for that. I know your wife does the slides. You got me there. But you see, I'm involved in everything. And there's a reason most churches have this problem. And the reason most pastors have this problem. You see, in the Old Testament, before Jesus shows up on the scene, God worked through a special group of people called the priests, okay? In the Old Testament, we have a picture of a priest right there. What do you guys think? Can you imagine if I showed up like that one morning? That'd be awesome. You see, in the Old Testament, because of sin, God's Spirit only came on a select few, at select places, at select times. Is God's Spirit was only on a select few, in select places, and select times. And so what happened is there'd be these priests. And these priests would serve as the mediator between God and his people. The average person did not have a direct line between themselves and God. They had to go through a priest. But when Jesus arrived on the scene, the religious culture gets turned upside down. And Jesus starts making these statements to normal people, to everyday people. He says things like, you're a critical part to my mission. He would say things like, yeah, you, all of you will be my witnesses. You are the light of the world. And he wasn't talking to professionals. He was talking to everyday, ordinary people. In fact, there were the official, professional religious priests around. Let me just say, they got ticked off by this. This kind of Jesus saying, you are the light of the world, you are the light of the world, you are the light of the world, it ticked the priests off to the point where it's actually one of the reasons they killed Jesus. They were so jealous of Jesus. So Jesus, he turns this religious structure of the Old Testament upside down by proclaiming that everyday, ordinary people are just as valuable to the mission of God as the Jewish priests were. Turns upside down. And then on the day of Pentecost, there's a bunch of non-priests in this upper room, and they're praying, and they're all huddled up. In the book of Acts, we see in that day, the Holy Spirit of God invades the room, right? He blows through their lives like a mighty rushing wind, and something like tongues of fire descend on them. The Holy Spirit descends on everybody's head there. And it didn't just descend on a select few, right? The Holy Spirit descended on all of them. And from that moment on, the message was clear. This God stuff, this doing ministry stuff, is for everyone who follows Jesus. Everyone who follows Jesus now has a direct access to God. You don't have to go through me. I'm not your priest. I'm your pastor, which is different than a priest, but you don't need to go through me. You have a direct access to God now. Everyone who follows Jesus has a supernatural power from the Holy Spirit, not just a select few, not just the priest or the pastors. Instead, everyone here has been charged, by the way, as a priest. You are all priests now. We'll get to that. We've been charged to carry God's love to this world. I mean, can you imagine if every member of our church had this healthy sense of humility, but they also discovered where they were supernaturally empowered by God? They saw themselves as priests, and everyone took their role seriously. Can you imagine if that happened? Now, see, along, without delving into too much church history here, somewhere along the line, the church decided there'd be these few professional Christians that would help run the place. Sometimes they're called the clergy. You might have heard that phrase before. What happened is, as the church would raise up this clergy and a few professional Christians, then passively the rest of the church would start watching the clergy. They start watching professionals carry out their duty, right? Everyone else would sit on the sidelines, sit on their hands, sit on their gifts. Maybe review the priestly performance, right? Pastor, that's a 6 out of 10 this morning, right? They maybe review the performance. That would that be it? They'd be on the sidelines. Yeah, ministry, that's what the professionals do. And you see that happen in lots of church. And tragically, it still is the reality in many churches today. And the reality is the results are people are hugely unfulfilled because their church experience is sitting down, listening to a guy talk, and then they leave. And churches just limp along powerless, frustrated and ineffective because it's just relying on a select few professionals who really, let's be honest, aren't that gifted and they're kind of quirky in general, right? And guess what? There's not 1 ounce of biblical support for that type of structure. That's not what God had in mind for his church. Instead, there's a ton of evidence in the scripture that God gifted every one of us to be priests. We have ordinary people who live extraordinary lives as priests. So here's the deal. Did you know, according to the Bible, you are now a priest? Did you know that? You're a priest. Let me read this out for you. It says this in 1 Peter 2:9. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he's called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. When Peter wrote that, he was not speaking at a pastor's conference. He wasn't speaking at a pastor's conference. He's writing to everyday people. He's writing to ordinary people like you and me. And there's no distinction. Let me say this clearly. No distinction between this few elite, super Christians, professional Christians, and the rest of us in the Bible. There's just not. We're all called priests according to the Bible. We're all equipped and we're all gifted to play a role in God's expanding kingdom. We all get to play. We all get to play. We were planting Riverside 5 years ago. We actually were planted out of River Valley Church, where I was an associate pastor. And a couple months after meeting on Sunday nights in a little church building by the river, there was this lady from River Valley who lived closer to where we were. And so she decided, I'm going to come check out Riverside because it's closer to her home. And one evening, after she attended 4 to 5 weeks, she came up to me during that two-minute break we just took. She came up to me, along with her husband, and she asked me, Keith, when is Riverside going to get its real pastor? And I was like, what do you mean? She goes, well, you know, like, when's Riverside going to get a real pastor once this thing really takes off? And I had no clue. I mean, I'm like, well, that would be me. Like, I'm like the lead pastor. But she kept pushing. She goes, well, yeah, I mean, I know like you're now the pastor, but you know how Rick is the senior pastor at River Valley, and like you're like kind of a pastor? Like that. You know, like, when are like Riverside going to get a real pastor? Let me just say, she wasn't trying to be mean. She just looked at me and figured he must not be the super pastor, right? I'm not the professional Christian she was used to. And I'll never forget this. It finally clicked in her head that, like, I'm, like, the long-term pastor of this church. And I'll never forget this. She literally said, oh. And then she goes, I hope that works out for you and Riverside. I'm dead serious. And I tell you that awkward, embarrassing story for a reason. There's no such thing as a super pastor in God's eyes. We are all, in God's eyes, significant and supernaturally empowered priests. You are. We're all teammates with our own God-given uniqueness and giftedness to be used for the sake of this church and for his kingdom. And when we expect a select few people to do the real work of ministry, it means most of us sit out and the whole team suffers. But again, look what Peter writes. He calls each of us as priests, and then he writes this in 1 Peter 4:10. God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. So when we use our gifts, we allow God's generosity to flow through us. And we stand back with this deep satisfaction. We could say, I was made for this. And the church flourishes, and the world takes notice of a good God. What happens when it's not a select few, but it's the church? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12 to see this fleshed out even more. It says this in verse 4. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. And it's basically saying every person who knows Jesus is given this special gift or two, spiritual gift. Now, there's different gifts for each one of us so that God can do his work in us as individuals as well as a group. And when we start operating in our gifts, you benefit personally because you start being fulfilled because you're using your gifts the way God's uniquely wired you. And the church also benefits because we're playing as a real team together. And the world will benefit because all of a sudden the world gets to see what God is like. He sees all these little followers of Jesus going out and using their gifts. These spiritual gifts that we've all been given. Let me give you a definition of what a spiritual gift is. This is the definition I like to use. A spiritual gift is a special supernatural ability that God gives each of his followers so they can advance his purposes in the world. And according to the Bible, this kind of spiritual gifts are given to everyone who invites Jesus into their lives to forgive their sins and then to govern and lead their lives. The Bible says once you are in Jesus, he or she is empowered to use their spiritual gift alongside everyone else in the church for the purposes of God together. And these individual gifts, they develop and they grow as a person matures and as they get to practice using these gifts on a regular basis. So, for example, we first started Riverside 5 years ago. Our core group of people, we took a spiritual gift assessment. By the way, most home groups this week will be taking a spiritual gift assessment together to find out how God has wired you. Okay, so we started this church. We gave this assessment out to people, and this college-age girl, I'll never forget it, she took this assessment, and she scored extremely high in pastoring gifts and shepherding gifts. And the results come back, and she goes, oh, this must be wrong. I can never be a pastor, is what she said. What she meant was, I can never be a professional what you do, Keith. Then we started talking about how she was so good at shepherding folks. I mean, folks felt so cared by her, right? She was good at caring for folks and shepherding folks. And really, she had a strong shepherding gift. She just didn't know what to call it. And once it was identified, she was released, and she really cared for a lot of folks in the early stages of our church. She and her husband since moved away to Arizona, but I'll never forget, she realized what her unique giftedness was, and she operated in it. And the church was benefited, and she was blessed. And folks, you and I are responsible for identifying these gifts from God. We're responsible to then develop these gifts from God. And we're then responsible for getting the most out of these gifts from God. So for instance, God has given me the gift of teaching. Now, to the degree that how effective it is, that's up for you to decide, okay? But I'm responsible for developing this teaching gift that I feel like he's given me. Now, in some church traditions, they just say, well, just get up and let the Spirit move. And I believe that will happen, but I also believe the Spirit moves on Wednesday and Thursday, right? And so when I'm studying and I'm reading and I'm praying and I'm pouring over Scripture, and so for me, I feel like God's going to hold me accountable for how I use my gift. And so I spent a lot of time during the week trying to really develop this gift I feel like he's given me. Now, I didn't get to pick the gift of teaching. I didn't get to pick the gift of leadership, which I think I might have. They just happen to be the gifts God's given me. 1 Corinthians 12:11 puts it this way. It's the one and only Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gifts to give each person. So God didn't like come to it, give me a catalog and say, Keith, pick the gifts that you want. And if I have leftovers, I'll give even more. That's not how it works. You don't get control over what gifts God gives you. And that's a good thing, right? It's a good thing because God knows us so much better than we know ourselves. And we'd ask for things that don't mesh. We'd ask for gifts that don't mesh with our personality, that don't mesh with our lives. See, God knows the big picture, and he sees us. He knows us from the inside and from the out. And so he gives us a spiritual gift that fits us to the core of who we are. Again, we're all priests. So you're a priest. You've got unique gifts. In addition to the spiritual gifts, though, he's also just wired you uniquely as a person, right? I mean, each of us are just simply wired uniquely, right? Even before you knew Jesus, you knew you were different than other people. And we should also know that. Have you figured out how you're uniquely wired? How are you wired up? How are you designed? There are a bunch of different personality types in this room. Raise your hand if you're extroverted. Raise your hand real high if you're extroverted. Come on. Come on. I expect the extroverts to like the hands to shoot up. Introverts, raise your hand. Wait a minute, that was so reversed. I'm expecting like introverts to be like this. How many of you like lead with your heart? Like you're very emotional, very empathetic. You're a hugger. Who are the huggers in this room, right? Right? Who's like a sheet of plywood when they come your way? Right? You're like a hugger comes your way? Yeah. That must be really weird for you too. She's the hugger, you're like a sheet of plywood when a hugger comes your way. You see, we're all designed differently. That's the beauty of how God has made us. It's good to honestly know how God has wired you, how God's designed you personally, or your personality, or individual style, and not how you wish he designed you, but how he has actually designed you. And when you settle that and you embrace the reality of how God has wired you, you see then how your spiritual gifts and then your supernatural giftedness, it might flow out into how it plays out. Now look, so for example, my gift of teaching, again, you can debate that if you want, but they give me a microphone a lot here. So in my gift of teaching, because of my personality, I'm an introvert. So for me, I mean, you may think, no, Keith, you're extrovert. No. I'm an introvert kind of personality. So for me, like when this is all said and done, I'll probably go hide in the back room just for 30 minutes and like detox from like, because I'm an introvert. I need to be recharged by like personal time. I have to have some Keith time or else I get tanked. So for me, in my teaching gift, I need alone time. Before and afterwards, I just do. I also have this personality where I'm kind of like, you might not notice, I'm kind of type A driven kind of guy. You're like, kind of? Yeah. I'm kind of type A driven. So I want to think through word for word what I'm going to say. I'm that like control freak, and the staff's going, yes, you are. And so I'm literally reading to you right now. Like I'm reading to you word for word what I want to say to you because I can't get up here and wing it. Also because I'm kind of scatterbrained. And I will just rabbit trail. That's how God uniquely wired me. Type A driven control freak, which I know I have to grow in humility there too. Gift of teaching can be somewhat ADD. So I manuscript and I work on how God can, I can move this spiritual gift of teaching meshing with my personality. You got to figure out how God's wired you to use your unique gifts and how they can flow through you as a priest in God's kingdom. There's also, by the way, just natural ability, right? Like, maybe you've known from a very young age you have this ability. You can do certain things. Some of you were just very athletic from an early age. You just knew, right? Some of you had the innate ability to sing, right? From an early age, you can just tell you can sing. Some people do not have that gift, and you can just tell, right? You can just tell. Some people have just the natural ability to put things together. They can put nuts and bolts in the right spot. They don't have to read directions. They don't need to look at a picture. They can just put things together, right? Most men think they have this gift. Most men do not have this gift, but there are a few that actually do. So then you have this natural ability that God's given you, right? That meshes with your unique personality and how God's wired you. And then you put that on top of your spiritual gift that God has given you. Can you see how this all starts to mesh together? Can you see that? But then here's the deal. We all have different life experiences, right? Some great victories have happened in our lives that we have grown from. Some accomplishments, some also some failures. There have been some great tragedies in all of our lives, right? So you take those experiences, add that to how God's uniquely wired you in your personality, your natural ability, in your spiritual giftedness. Can you see how amazing each of you are as a priest? Can you see how uniquely and gifted you are? And how God could uniquely use you to build his kingdom? And can you think of how amazing it would be if everybody, not just the professionals, but if everybody in this church would embrace that, embrace how they're uniquely wired and gifted, and let God work through them, I think the church would be unstoppable. I mean, nobody would be overworked in the process. Nobody would burn out. And in the process, the world would look at the church and see God working through a diverse ragtag group of folks, a diverse group of priests. I mean, when I see someone using the gift of hospitality, it makes me think, you know what? God's like that, isn't he? God's such a hospitable God. When I see someone using their gift of mercy alongside a sick person or a dying person or someone in prison, it reminds me, yeah, I see them ministering. And then I remember, oh yeah, God is such a compassionate and merciful God. When I see someone write a song or write a play or do a dance, it reminds me, God is such a God of creativity, isn't he? He's such a creative God. When I get to peek in on our kids' ministry on Sunday morning, I see a slew of priests serving in there. I'm reminded that Jesus has a special place in his heart for the little ones in the kingdom. When I see people using their gifts, it just reminds me that's what God is like. He's like that. Remember, the scriptures say a spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. And I'm excited that most groups this week will be able to take the spiritual gift assessment to process through. How are we wired? What gifts has God given you? And how are we using them as priests in his kingdom? I mean, did you know walking in here you were a priest? Isn't that amazing? You are, according to the scriptures, a priest of God. And I love our church. I think our church is a really neat church, but I think it'd be so much more if every one of us really could just realize this and embrace this reality. You are a priest serving in your right gifted points, in your right gifted place, and with the right people and the right passions at the right time. I mean, can you imagine we got to pass a microphone around this room and everyone could stand up just, you know, full of passion with absolutely a great sense of humility. But stand up and say, hi, my name's Rachel. I'm a priest. I'm a follower of Jesus. I got the spiritual gift of leadership and administration. So I help lead and organize where our community center is going, right? Or someone can stand up and say, hi, I'm Orlando. I'm married to Rachel. I'm a priest and I'm a follower of Jesus. And I have this gift of leadership and wisdom. I'm really good at research. And so I'm helping to use my gifts to help the Sunday morning gathering, specifically in technology, grow and how our teams can use this. Or, hey, my name's Dale, and I'm a priest. I'm a follower of Jesus. And by the way, whenever you talk to Dale, if it's something he's passionate about, with 2 to 3 sentences, he will tear up. It's amazing. It's amazing. Because he's got this gift of mercy that I've never seen. And it's coupled with the gift of giving, by the way. So he's burdened to pray for others and care for others. And God's just uniquely wired. Can you imagine him standing up and saying, my name's Dale, I got the gift of mercy and giving, and I'm just so naturally generous with my time and my talents and my treasures to make different folks' lives just better. Or, hi, my name's Sabella. I'm a priest. I'm kind of quiet, but I'm a really good artist. And I'm trying to figure out how to use my gifts to better serve the church. Or, hi, my name's Deb. I'm a priest and I'm a follower of Christ. I've been given the gift of organization. And I love getting things done. I love being behind the scenes. I'm gonna get in trouble for pointing her out right now. I'm not going to look over there. I'm going to look over here. I just love helping these things run well. Or, hi, my name's Betty, and I'm a priest. Betty, where are you? I just saw you. There you are, right in front. Oh, she went like this. I'm a priest. I've been given the gift of hospitality. I love making people feel welcomed. And so I'm part of this leadership team that's helping us as we move to the Beacon think through how we can welcome folks using my gift of hospitality. Or, hi, my name's Sansa. I'm a priest. I'm a follower of Jesus. I have the gift of encouragement. I've been through a lot in life. I've been through a ton in life. It's been a hard 5 years, but now I'm using my life experiences coupled with my gift of encouragement, and by the way, the spiritual gift of spaz, because you've got that, Sansa, the spiritual gift of spaz, to help comfort people and encourage others in times of struggle and hardship. I mean, can you imagine if each one of us could stand up and say that? Can you imagine if every single priest in this room could stand up and say, here's how God has wired me and spiritually gifted me with my abilities and life experiences to advance his kingdom? Wouldn't that be amazing? Folks, that's the church. That's the church. That's God's heart. It's not for a select few clergy members to do this stuff. It's not the professional clergy that run around and make Riverside happen. God's heart is that every one of us in this room would link arms as a member of this family and live out this reality that you and I are priests. So here's what we're going to do. Jesus in the Bible is called our high priest. He's called the high priest. He is the ultimate and the final mediator between us and God. And so this morning, we're going to celebrate communion together as we sing some more songs. So we come to this table, remember, he is the high priest. He is the one who paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. And so we come to this table and go, yes, Jesus, you are a priest. You're the high priest. We put elements of his body and his blood in us. That should remind you, you are a priest in God. You put these elements, you say, I am a priest in God. And then we respond. You respond in singing praises to him. We respond in praying to him. We respond by serving him inside the church, outside the church. As you also heard during our announcements, we have a volunteer sign up out there where you can sign up and serve in different areas. I would encourage you, after you take communion, if you want, go out there and sign up and serve. You're going, but Keith, we're still singing worship. Well, yes, it's still worship when you're signing up for volunteering. That's an act of worship, saying, I'm going to serve the Lord in my area of giftedness or just an area of need. That's an act of worship. And so I want to encourage you, as we're singing songs, if you've not signed up for this volunteer stuff, go back there. Go read the stuff. It's okay to do that. That's part of your worship. We'll sing some songs, we'll take communion together, and we'll continue to band our voices together as priests in God, okay? So would you stand up? Let's pray, and we'll continue. Jesus, thank you so much for your love and your grace. Thank you that you are the high priest, that because of your work on the cross, you are the ultimate and the final mediation between us and God. And so as the high priest, we invite you to receive glory this morning. We invite you to receive our honor. This doesn't earn us anything. It's just we want to respond, though, to your work. So as we come to your table, we just acknowledge it's you who gives, it's you who takes. It's you who put us uniquely in this place at this time to do your stuff. And guys, we take communion. I pray that you would then supernaturally, by the power of your Spirit, remind each of us of how uniquely gifted and loved and cherished and honored and valuable we are. I pray for everyone in this room who thinks they're on the margins, that they would know they are so critical to the mission that you have in this place. And God, as we sing, as we sign up for service, as we praise you, as we pray to you, as we join our voices together, we say, come and have your way. We're your people. You are our God. You're worthy of praise.